We'll now turn to our scripture reading for this morning. You'll find it in the New Testament, Paul's epistle to the Philippians. In the opening chapter, you'll find it if you have one of the Pew Bibles on page 1042. Philippians chapter 1. And we'll read the first 11 verses of this chapter just now. We hope to focus in on some of the words, or all of the words, I should say, that we find in the 6th verse of this chapter. Let us read Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Let us hear God's own holy, inspired word. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. May God bless that reading from his own holy word. Well, congregation, if you turn in your Bibles once again to the passage of God's word we read earlier, as I intimated, we want to focus our attention on the well-known words that you find in verse 6 of the opening chapter of Paul's epistle to the Philippians, where Paul says these wonderful and encouraging words, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. O congregation, brothers and sisters, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian, to be someone in whom God has begun a good work of his grace. And that's what each of these four individuals who have made confession of faith this morning is saying. They are confessing that God has begun a good work of his grace in their hearts, a saving work. And I want to encourage each of you, in light of that fact, to really take to heart what that means for you. Because you see, when God starts a work, he always finishes what he starts. He sees it through to the end. And you and I may start many things in life with the intention of finishing them. And yet so often, as you know, it doesn't always happen. We might start a book, for example, but we never get to the end of the book. Or we've great intentions that we're going to get in shape. And so we start a diet or a fitness program. But very soon our motivation levels begin to peter out, and perhaps we pack it all in. We start things and we drop them then. Because you see, so often we are full of good intentions, but we discover very quickly that something is missing to get the job done. We lack perseverance, perhaps, or we lack the resources, the time, the skill perhaps that we need to accomplish what it is that we began. And our lives are very often filled with loose ends then, with would have beens, should have beens, and could have beens. But my friend, God is not like that. For God never starts anything that he doesn't finish. Because you see, unlike you and I, God is not limited in any way by defects in his character or in his ability to accomplish what he wills. For you see, God has all of the infinite resources that he needs at his disposal to ensure that what he purposes to do, it will be accomplished. And that means that whenever God begins a saving work in the heart of any of his people, they can rest assured that he will carry on that work until it is finally completed. But you see, that's what's so wonderful about the work of God. God will never forsake the work of his own hands, but he will perfect that which concerns his people. That's what the psalmist says so beautifully in Psalm 138. And that's why I have chosen to call this message the Christian's confidence in life. Because every child of God ought to have the same confidence in light of these things that Paul is expressing here in the verse that we want to look at this morning. Verse 6 of Philippians chapter 1. Where, as we've already read, Paul says to the believers in Philippi, he is confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I want to draw your attention then to three things about this good work of Jesus Christ, or of God in the hearts of his people. And we'll notice firstly the commencement of this work. Then secondly, the continuation of this work. And then finally, the completion of this work. Well, firstly then, let us look at the commencement of this work. Paul says here that God had begun a good work in the lives of the believers who were in the church at Philippi. And the same is true of every child of God in every age and generation of the church. It is God who begins the work of salvation in their hearts. And that's true of every believer here. There's one thing that you and I can unite together and confess, if we are in Christ today, it's that God is the one who sovereignly took the initiative in beginning a good work within us. Because that's what we need to understand, that salvation always begins with God. God is the one who makes the first move. And every child of God knows full well that if he didn't make the first move, then we would make no move at all in the direction of God. That's why when the country preacher who was being examined for ordination to the ministry, and he was asked by his examiners how it was that he had become a Christian, he replied and he said, "I did my part and God did his." And as you would expect, his answer, it sounded questionable to his examiners. And so they asked him to explain, "Well, what exactly do you mean by you did your part in salvation?" And he answered and he said, "My part was to run from God as fast as I could, while God's part was to run after me and catch me and bring me into his family." And you see, that's how it is. Because all of us were born running away from God. And if God had never taken the initiative then to find us, we would still be running away from him. But you see, that's the glory of the entire message of the gospel. that God does come to us in His grace and in His love to actively seek and to save that which was lost, that which was running away from Him. That's what the word that is translated here as begun is referring to. The tense of the verb here, it speaks of a very deliberate and decisive act on God's part in which He is the seeker. He is the mover. He is the very author of salvation. And you see, because that is true, God comes to do a very definite work within His people then. And it's the work of regeneration or the new birth. Because notice that Paul says that this is a good work that is begun where? In the believer. And we often speak of salvation as being a work for us. And that is absolutely true. Salvation is a work for us. Because you see, God sent His Son into this world to do all that was necessary for us in order that we might be saved. But what we also need to understand is that in order for anyone to actually enjoy the benefits of the saving work of Christ on our behalf, then that redemption which Christ has purchased for us, it must be actively applied to us. That's why in theology a distinction is often made between redemption accomplished and redemption applied. Because you see, it's not enough to simply know that Christ has already accomplished a work on our behalf. The work that the Father gave Him to do so that we might be saved. No, God must go on to apply the benefits of that finished work to His people at a particular point in time, if they are ever to enter into the good of it. But you see, that is exactly what God has purposed to do. And that is exactly what He does do then in the hearts of His people. And this good work of applying the benefits of salvation purchased by Christ begins therefore with the work of imparting new life to the soul. A soul that is languishing in a state of spiritual death when God comes to it. But you see, God comes to that soul in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring into being a new life within the soul. And it's the life of God Himself. For in the new birth, God makes us partakers of the divine nature by making us alive together with Christ. That's what Paul says elsewhere in Ephesians chapter 2, but also in Colossians chapter 2. And this is the good work then that Paul is confident that God has begun in the hearts of these believers in Philippi. A work that He has commenced at the very core of their being. For remember, what happens to the Christian in the new birth? It's not merely a surface work. It's a work that begins to transform them from the inside out. Because you see, when God begins a good work within us, He gives us a new heart. He puts a new spirit within us by taking the heart of stone out of our flesh and giving us a heart of flesh, as the prophet Ezekiel says. And isn't that exactly how the church here at Philippi began? When God opened the heart of Lydia, its first convert, through the work of the Holy Spirit, in applying the gospel that she had heard preached by Paul. And isn't that why there's a church here in Mitchell? It's because God began a good work in the hearts of His people here. And He is continuing to do that same work today. And that's the only reason why we can come together this morning to witness these four people making a public confession of their faith. It's because our ever faithful God is carrying on this good work of saving his people and drawing them to himself. And what a glorious reality this is. It ought to be a glorious reality in our minds and hearts. And what a cause of thanksgiving to God that he is still working out his redemptive purposes among us in the life of our congregation. Well, Paul is reminding us here then that salvation is from the Lord, as Jonah says. For it is God who begins a good work in the hearts of his people. It's not just that God begins a good work within us when he visits us with his salvation by imparting new life from above to the soul. God will carry on that work that he has now begun within the soul. That's why Paul goes on to say here in this verse that he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it, or he will go on performing it until it is completed. And that brings us then in the second place to reflect upon the continuation of this good work. The verb which Paul uses here, it's in the intensive form, and it has a continuous sense, meaning that what God has started, he undertakes to continue. Because you see, God himself now takes personal responsibility for completing the work of his own hands. And what Paul says here then, it could literally be translated as God will go on putting the finishing touches to his own work until he brings it to full and final completion. That's a beautiful thought. Because you see, the ongoing work of God within us, it's just like the work of a sculptor or a potter. And we are just like clay in the hands of the divine potter. And that means then that having begun a good work within us, God will go on constantly working upon us and within us from day to day to shape and mold and fashion us into the image of his own dear Son, Jesus Christ. Because you see, the work of regeneration or the new birth, it is always followed in God's plan and purpose of salvation by the work of sanctification. And in sanctification, God works continuously to cause us to grow up to maturity in Christ by progressively working in our hearts and in our lives to make us more and more like Christ in thought and in word and in deed. And child of God, here, that is the work that God intends then to accomplish in your life and mine. And so in absolutely everything that he does in our lives, we need to remember that he is working toward that very definite goal. And it would be good for us if we would align our goals with God's goals then. It would save us an awful lot of pain and heartache in life. Because God's goal is the goal of bringing us into greater conformity to the likeness of Jesus Christ. My dear friend, he will not rest until that good work is finally finished. But it's not a work that happens overnight. Not a work that happens all at once. It is a process that will not finally be completed until the day of Jesus Christ. And that means that we need to learn then that God does not make us perfect straight away. Paul is emphatically telling us here that the work of his grace, it is only begun in this life, but it is never finished here. And as long as you and I are in this world, then we will always be able to look at ourselves, see many things in our hearts and in our lives that have the potential to discourage us, to get us down, because we realize that we're not making the progress perhaps that we would desire. And those of you who have confessed your faith this morning, you're no doubt beginning to learn that by experience. But you see, you also need to understand that part of the good work that God has begun in your heart, it is to show you all that is in your heart by nature. But you see, God doesn't do that to discourage you, but to encourage you to humble yourself before him because of your sins, so that you would actively seek all of your life outside of yourself in Jesus Christ, as you've already confessed that you will do. Because you see, that's actually one of the ways in which God keeps us from thinking higher of ourselves than we ought to think. That's how God fosters a spirit of total dependence upon him and him alone for all of our salvation. But you see, if there's one thing God knows, it's that we all need to learn that having begun our spiritual lives in and by the work of the Spirit of God, we're not to think that we are now to be made perfect by the flesh, in our own strength, or by our own endeavors. You see, the work of salvation from beginning to end, it is a work of God's grace alone. And if you and I are to make any progress then in the Christian life, we must take that to heart. And we must always learn to lean upon God and his grace alone to do in us and for us what we simply cannot do in and of ourselves. Because you see, it's only then that we will discover from day to day that God's grace is sufficient for us to keep us and to bring to completion the good work that he has begun within us. And that brings us then, in the last place, to reflect very briefly on the completion of this good work. Paul says here he is confident that he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And child of God, this is the great fact then that you need to keep ever before your mind. When you are tempted to become dejected and cast down perhaps in your spirit because of the lack of perfection and progress that you currently see in your life. This great fact that God does not leave off his work in the middle of the work. For you see, God always finishes what he starts. And so you need to remember, as one old saint of God put it, the Lord always looks at his people not as they currently are in and of themselves, but as they will be when he is done. And my friend, God is not yet done with you or I. For you are still a work in progress. And therefore, when God looks at you, in spite of all of your blemishes, all of your imperfections, nevertheless, he still sees what only he can see. Because he sees what he knows you will yet become by his grace. For just as the work of regeneration is always followed by the work of sanctification, God knows that he will yet accomplish the work of your glorification your full glorification when Christ returns to this earth again for the second time. And you see, it is only on that great day, the day of Jesus Christ, that God will finally and completely perfect that which concerns you. And while it is true then that it has not yet been revealed to us what we shall be, as John reminds us in his first epistle, we do know this. And we can rest assured in the knowledge of this fact, that when Christ is finally revealed on the great day of the resurrection, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. For it's then that we will finally have received a perfect glorified body like unto his glorified body. And then we will finally dwell with him forever in the new heavens and the new earth, body and soul united together forever. And that is the glorious reality then that Paul is anticipating here with such confidence. And that is the reality that awaits all of those in whom God has begun a good work. And that is what we as believers then are called to anticipate. We're to look forward to that day by faith, so that we would be encouraged in the midst of all of the difficulties and challenges of running the race set before us, that we would be encouraged to keep on pressing on in our walk with the Lord. Well, our time is gone, but let me finish with a story. It's a story about an artist who conceived in his mind a great picture, great work of art. And he determined to create this great picture as his final masterpiece. And so he was working one day on the canvas, putting in dribs of grey and drabs of other colours to compose the background of his painting, when a friend entered into the room unbeknown to himself. And so the artist, he carried on working away on his painting with enthusiasm, with zeal, not aware that his friend was looking on. But finally he happened to turn around and he saw his friend, and so he asked him, said, "What do you think of this? I intend it to be my greatest work ever, the greatest work that I have ever done." And his friend burst into a laugh and he exclaimed, "Well, to be frank, I don't think much of it at all. Seems to me only like a great blob of paint." But the artist simply smiled and he said, "Ah, but you cannot see what it's yet going to be. But I can." And child of God, you may well look at yourself at times, and all you can currently see is a great blob of imperfection. But never ever forget that God, the great sculptor and artist, when he looks down at you, he sees within you a work of art, a work that he himself has begun. And his promise to you, therefore, is that one day he will bring out that work perfectly. And so you are to rest in the assurance that his word gives you here. And let it encourage you in your struggles and trials in this life, that he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Almighty God, we bow before you, we do come and we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given to your people so many great and precious promises to encourage them, to strengthen them in their walk through life. And we pray that your people would take to heart the wonderful words of the verse that we've just been considering, that he who does begin a good work in the hearts of his people, he will assuredly complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we pray then that all of us would be found in Christ on that great day, that we would be found sheltering under his blood, having sought refuge in him in time. And we pray, Lord, that you would go on working in the hearts of all of your people here to cause them to grow in their knowledge and understanding of you, to submit more and more to your will and purposes for their life. And we pray that in all things that they would be working with you and cooperating with the work of your Spirit within them, knowing that the one who works in them is God, who is working to will and to do of his good pleasure, and so they are called to work out their salvation with fear and with trembling. And we pray, Lord, then that you would be with all of us. You know our needs. You alone are able to meet the greatest need of our hearts, to bring us to new life in Christ. And we pray then, Lord, that all of us would come to an end of ourselves and our own resources, that we would look beyond ourselves, that we would look outside of ourselves, that we would make Christ our all and in all. And we pray, Lord, that you would reveal Christ then to us by your Spirit, and that you would bind us all up in the bundle of life with you, the Lord. Bless us in this new week begun. Go before all of us in all things. Be our God and guide, and lead us all in the way everlasting, we ask. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.